The Holy Gospel, this 18th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the Gospel of Luke in the 16th chapter. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager, because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. You've probably heard me say before how much I appreciate the disciples. They're a lot like us. They don't always get it. Sometimes they think they get it more than they actually do, and they give us insight into what it was like to be in the presence of the Messiah, but not knowing what that means quite yet. But today I've got a bit of a bone to pick with them. You see, there are a few places in Scripture where the disciples would come to Jesus after he spoke a parable and ask him to explain it to them. And after reading today's parable in our gospel reading, I really would have appreciated it if there was a sidebar where Peter or James had come up to Jesus and simply said, "Hey, Jesus, what are you talking about? You mind breaking that down for us?" Because I'll be honest, I don't like this idea of dishonesty being commended in any season. It doesn't gel with our understanding of how we are invited to live faithfully. It doesn't fit with what we think God expects of us. And yet, the rich man commends this dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. And a part of me wonders how it is possible for Jesus to endorse dishonesty in any form. But it seems here that he does. So maybe we need to take a closer look at the actions of this dishonest manager and how it might fit into our understanding of the kingdom of God. So, what is it about this manager that is so special? What sets him apart as a character in this parable? Obviously, this manager has been in the employ of this rich man for a while, in charge of a great many of his resources. But it seems that despite managing this rich man's resources, he himself has very few resources that he would call his own. Because when he is charged with squandering the rich man's property and given essentially about a week to settle accounts, this manager realizes that he has nothing to fall back on. He's not strong enough to dig. He is too proud to beg. But the fact that he thinks he might have to beg tells us a lot about his own standing. It seems that all he has been thriving on has come first from the rich man. Perhaps he has squandered the rich man's property by using it to cover his own lifestyle choices, perhaps? Well, whatever the reason, the manager realizes that he has this gift of the rich man's resources for just a little while longer, and he has only one recourse to be able to live without resorting to begging. His reputation has been damaged by the charges against him. He can't count on getting another position as manager of somebody else's wealth. So he takes the wealth that is not his, and he acts shrewdly, dishonestly. Perhaps he is even acting as if he were inspired. Because when he begins to meet with the debtors of the rich man, the manager chooses to reduce their debt. And by reducing their debt, by taking the blessing of what the rich man has given him authority over, and then acting mercifully, the manager has built a relationship that did not exist before. Perhaps he was only thinking of himself, but the shrewd manager has taken the resources that he has been given, and for the first time has used those resources to be a blessing to others, who perhaps were in debt to a degree that it was a burden for them as well. And Jesus tells his disciples, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Eternal homes. It's that phrase that makes me think that what the manager has done with the rich man's resources goes far beyond a temporary reprieve. It seems to me that this manager has taken that which was not his, and out of these things that were not his, has created a legacy that continues beyond his earthly life. And that makes me begin to wonder, maybe we are a bit more like this dishonest manager than we would want to admit to ourselves. We hear the word dishonest, and we don't want to be associated with it. Even worse, put together the words dishonest wealth, and we begin to think of those who we would consider maybe the leeches of our society, those who take advantage of others to build more and more wealth for themselves. But what if I told you that each of us, with whatever we have in some ways come into dishonest wealth? It's a strange thought, isn't it? But if we believe that everything that we are and everything that we have comes from God, doesn't that mean that we have somehow taken advantage of somebody else's, the Creator's, resources for our own benefit? Doesn't that mean that we all have acted dishonestly in some ways to gain an advantage for ourselves at some point or another? But if all that we have belongs to God, there will be a point where we no longer will be able to make use of these gifts. All that we have here in this world is temporary, much like the position of the dishonest manager. So as the dishonest manager knew that his time was almost up, we are forced to ask the question, what can we do with what we have been gifted with to ensure that we have built up a treasure that endures? Ultimately, this is a question that comes down to legacy. In our first reading today, the prophet Amos speaks out against those who have the power of wealth. God has recognized their duplicity when dealing with those who are less powerful than them, and God sees the ways that they squander what they have been given. And the Lord swears, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. They had a legacy of dishonor, a legacy that was negative. But we, who are born again through the gift of baptism, are born again into a new life in Christ. The slate has been wiped clean, and we are all given the gift of building a new legacy blessed by what we have received. And if we are given such an opportunity, what does that mean for us? Maybe it means that some of us have or will become mentors. Maybe it means that some of us are able to give more generously of their material wealth. And maybe some of us bring their joyful spirit to all who are nearby. For each of us receive gifts from the God the Father. And these gifts become our legacy as we choose to share them with those around us, building new relationships with one another for the sake of the body of Christ. So what is our legacy here at Messiah? What is it that we are known for now? And what is it that we will be known for when we continue to give generously out of our many blessings? Messiah has been, and I believe will continue to be, a community of joy and hope for all who come near. Messiah is a refuge and a source of renewed life. And all of this is possible because we who are gathered here at Messiah have been deeply blessed to manage the gifts of God that truly are not our own. All we get to do is take that which is not our own and use it for the sake of a vision that goes far beyond ourselves. So, what is your legacy here at Messiah? What is our broader legacy? How is it that we who are gathered here as the body of Christ today become part of a greater legacy of faith here in this place? We each have blessings that we have been given in abundance. May we all live our lives confident in the gifts that we have received. And may we be so bold as to trust that what we have been given is given to us to then have an impact far beyond us, a blessing that exists beyond this world, a blessing that exists beyond this world and into our eternal homes. Amen.